difficult one. Difficult because of four rebbes that I would call my true rebbes. Rabbi Yosef David Epstein was one who has had the most profound effect on me in my formative years, together with someone else. My obsession with research was sparked by him. The methodology, which is different than what you would find in a yeshiva, and therefore most people don't take to it, was the same methodology that he used to write quite a few svarim. He is totally unknown in the broad world, because that's exactly the way he wants it. But when he writes his sefer, it is the definitive work. There's nothing afterwards that really should be necessary. It was the sefer which years ago he printed, called the Mitzvah HaShalom. Every conceivable halacha and dimension about what we call shalom. We have a fight. How do we resolve it? Who's right? Who's wrong? When can we fight? When should we fight? When do we fight in the name of Torah? When do we keep quiet in the name of Torah? Who is the winner and who is the loser of a fight? And what do you do if you have different perspectives in a fight? Well, the first edition, it was about 700 or 800 pages of the Sefer, of this Mitzvah HaShalom. The first edition had a tragic fate awaiting it. He lived in Borough Park since he came to America and stored the volumes which he printed in a certain garage, in a store, in a warehouse. Because of a certain topic, and the topic was, how do we now associate with the so-called secular Zionists? Where he tried to create a case to indicate that in the halacha may not be you spit. There's much more that you're supposed to do, or much other that you're supposed to do. And spitting is not in order. That got him into trouble, where some people who objected to what he was quoting from others and printing and publicizing, went ahead and burned the garage in which he stored it, and about half of the svarim were destroyed. Ultimately, the police traced the act to those who had perpetrated it, as I remember, it's quite a few years ago, and the bottom line was that they were so-called chassidim of a certain Rebbe. And the Rebbe was approached in the Beis Din Paskin that he is to be indemnified, he is to be paid back for every sefer that he that was lost. It was about $2,000 worth. The upshot was that the book has been out of print. And the man never had the means to go ahead and reprint it, simply because he invested all of his personal efforts and energy and money into continuing writing other books along his derech, along his style, and he just never got caught up. Until I had an opportunity to show this to Jerry, and Jerry jumps, and then he worries about where he's going to land afterwards. It's admirable when Torah is spread this way. The same thing with this sefer over here, Otsa Hari Geras on Purim. There's nothing left to really say on Purim, except Purim Torah, you see. That it's not. It's a serious work. Rav Epstein's son, and he's blessed with a big Talmud Chacham, goes in the traditional ways. Rav Moshe said of his son, that he never believed that America would be able to develop the Gedolim like we had in Europe. He is the one, the first one. So it's an unusual kind of a situation, but it's that mitzvah sashalom, people, that motivated me to these Rav Kook shiurim. You see, my copy I haven't had in a good couple of years. It sprouted wings. I lent it to someone, it sprouted wings, and it flew off. I'm just wondering, and I don't remember to whom I lent it. I'm just wondering if it landed up in the same Beis Medrash with the same chassidim, and that's why I never got it back. And it is thanks to Jerry's Herculean efforts that I was able to get one of the last three copies of the first edition from Rav Epstein to be able to have, and hopefully to be able to share with you, to show you that maybe we ought to blink our eyes in terms of our human relationships and realize that we're all topsy-turvy. Moshe Kapoya. Now, it is that which leads me to what I had hoped to start last Rosh Chodesh in our Rav Kook circle. But unfortunately, the last minute there was a major problem that I had. Let me get into it and tell you that I want to talk about Rav Kook and the famous Shemitah problem. I'll define Shemitah in a moment. It is in Chumash, and I'd like to take a Chumash and we'll learn, where it is stated that every 7 years in Eretz Yisrael, the farmers have to stop working the field. And, all right, let's take a, you can take a moment, a second, and distribute Chumashim. I have the English one here, so let's everyone take a Chumash and see what's what. All right, now, I have the pages for you in a second. Shemitah, every seventh year a farmer is required by the Chumash to stop working the field. As a matter of fact, if you count as the Rambam does, there are 9 mitzvahs. 3 mitzvahs asay and 6 mitzvahs lo asay. 3 active mitzvahs and 3 restrictive mitzvahs that you have for this Shemitah. Well, for close to 2 millennia now, we have not been able to observe that, because even if you did have a small community in Eretz Yisrael, they weren't farmers. And if you grew a couple of whatever, tomatoes or whatever, so, didn't mean anything. Came the year 1888, when the famous Baron Rothschild started to buy land outside the walls of Yerushalayim. And not only that, that was together with Montefiore, but Rothschild started to plant vineyards, Petach Tikva and Zichron Yaakov, all these areas. Then you're dealing in a different ballgame altogether. You have an economic enterprise over here. Now, I don't care what kind of a tzaddik you are, a man who is an industrialist, such an international industrialist, and with such wealth, does not very easily want to see that his productivity is cut by 1/7. And so you go ahead and you look for a heter, you look for a dispensation to be able to work in a manner that will be within the halacha. So you say, look, see, money talks. If I were to come to the rabbis and ask them for a dispensation, a heter, and they should allow me to work on Shabbos, because after all, 1/7 of my panos is going down the drain, and look, I'll be able to give more to my tzedakas and so on and so forth, me they won't give. But this big shot, who was a multi-millionaire, he already found a way to get around this year of Shemitah and be able to neutralize 9 mitzvahs in the Chumash. Well, your cynicism is not well taken. I'll tell you why. Because you do it. You know what's going to be? Within 6 weeks, you're going to do it. The same thing. You are going to come and sell chometz. Okay? And the identical halachas that are operative with the sale of chometz. In other words, let's get a technicality. Chumash says, I shouldn't own chometz. What if I sell my chometz to a goy? Legally, the letter of the law has been observed, and I don't own my chometz over Pesach, therefore comes after Pesach, I can go ahead and reclaim it, and I don't have to go bankrupt in my bakery. I don't have to go bankrupt in my pizza shop. I don't have to go bankrupt in my grocery store. I don't have to go bankrupt in my Pabst Blue Ribbon Brewery or Anheuser-Busch Brewery, whatever it is. I don't have to go bankrupt. I don't have to go ahead and kill my animals because I am not feeding them the proper food, you see. So we do it with Mechiras Chometz. But, and that's the big but, and here's where I connect with the Mitzvah HaShalom. In 1888, there broke out the most incredible machlokas that you could ever imagine. It's going to be 100 years soon. In anticipation of the following year, which was 1889, and it was a Shemitah year. Why then? Because in 1888, that's when, after the Russian pogroms of 1881 and 1882, when 2.5 million Jews emptied out of Russia, and quite a substantial number started to come to Eretz Yisrael, and the Baron Rothschild started to fund all of these new activities. In other words, we finally got our hands dirty. Not living off stocky boxes, as they did up until then. That's when it went bonkers, as the kids say in the street. Absolutely wild. Here's my point. And here's my point for all of you who have been with the Rav Kook Shir. There were three camps. Those who said, no way, you can't do anything. And if you do, you deserve eternal damnation in hell. That camp was particularly represented by the Rabbonim of Yerushalayim, Rav Yehuda Leib Diskin, Briske Rav, and Rav Shmuel Salant, who at that time were in Yerushalayim. And when I say in that time in Yerushalayim, it meant within the old city. Do you ever see any farms in the old city? Any room for farms in the old city? The second camp was represented by a whole bunch of the most eminent Talmidei Chachomim in Europe, some whom you may have heard of. Most of you may not even begin to understand who these people are. A fellow by the name of Rav Mordechai Eliasberg, the Rav of Boisk, a Mekubal at Tzadik Yisodolo, a fellow by the name of Rav Shmuel Molover, the Bialystok Rav. Some of you have heard that name. Rav Shmuel Molover barely managed to shine the shoes of this Rav Mordechai Eliasberg. Okay? That's who the first one is. Another one whom you may not have heard, Rav Shmuel Yosef Finn. Big, big Talmid Chacham. Finn. And another one, whom you surely haven't heard of, because after all he was an early Zionist, Rav Yechiel Michal Pines. This entire camp said, forget it! There's no Shemitah today. You know why? Because you take a look. Shemitah is only in the times of when you have Yovel, which we'll learn about in the course of the next 2 months. And Yovel is only when you have a Beis HaMikdash. And we don't have a Beis HaMikdash in 1889. Finished. That's it. There's no Shemitah. Go ahead and eat and enjoy, and there are no problems whatsoever. Nope. Two camps. In the middle, however, there was created a third camp. And that was the third camp that said, there may be a way to have your cake and eat it. Let's create a methodology like we created for Mechiyas Chometz. The mitzvah of Hashbasas Chometz, of destroying Chometz, is not a mitzvah of you going out on the limb to the extent that you'll be bankrupt after Pesach. Let's make a mechira. We'll sell it to the goy. Legally, we've taken care of that, and then we're finished. After the specified time, you already know what to do. Let's make a shtar mechira to sell, or maybe rent, the land of the farmers to between, because their intent more than anything else was to be able to bridge the two groups. Now people, we'll learn as the months go on, those of us who are part of the regular shiur, we'll learn all of these positions. But I found this that just came out, was just published a short while ago, and that is someone had taken to put together an anthology, you know, like one of my source books, of all of the literature that is available as a result of that original fight. And here is my tie-in, more than anything else. It's the thing that propels me in all of my conversations with you and why I want you to enter the world of Rav Kook. This concept that Jerry spoke of V'ahavtes Hashem Elokecha, can be very romantic, and at the same time can be the most dangerous concept in the hands of a Jew. V'ahavtes Hashem Elokecha leads us to certain crazy actions sometimes that we are totally unaware. This love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes puts us on a track that says, I am the only harbinger and possessor of truth. You've got to do it my way. And if you don't do it my way, and you don't see it my way, then the same God that asks me to love you commands me to destroy you, because you are a horrible cancer in the midst of Torah Judaism. Norman, you awake?
Yes, sir.
You here?
Very much so.
I just want to know if you're with me. It's that one thing, and that one thing only, that motivated me to this Rav Kook situation. Because he stood in the middle and was attacked on both sides to be able to convince us that this is the ultimate prostitution and the ultimate downfall of Torah and religion. In the month of Adar, I want to coin a phrase. This is Khomeiniism. I have the only track on truth, and if you want to hear it, I'm very familiar with Islam, what Shiite means and what it implies, and what the word Imam means and what it implies, and let me tell you clearly, by definition, a Shiite Imam, and that's the Ayatollah, he's the chief Imam, means I speak in the name of God, and therefore anything that you do or say or think differently than I, you are the enemy of God, and I am commanded to destroy you. In Islam, they have five basic emunas, five basic faiths, or five basic mitzvahs. And the sixth one is jihad, religious war. So today, they're trying to soften it. It doesn't mean religious war. But I will show you every source in the Quran that fires Khomeiniism. You do it my way or I'll kill you. Because I am the harbinger of truth. I did not know what to do when I received, when I started to go through this pamphlet of some, 100 pages, 135 pages. And what was it that guided me to page 19 of this pamphlet and I was on the train making my way back after having come from Columbia Presbyterian, one doctor's appointment. I went down to the east side and then making my way back to Port Authority, I didn't know what to do. Cry? Laugh? Faint? Vomit? Or dance for joy that my entire Comenius theory was substantiated? There's one line there that was published in response to this first name that I mentioned, Rav Modche Eliasberg. He was the Rav of Boisk, who said, Boisk, by the way, the same Boisk which later Rav Kook was Rav in. You see.
Boisk?
Boisk.
Boisk.
Boisk. Boisk.
Lithuania.
Rav Modche Eliasberg was the one who said, there's no Shemitah today, don't worry about it, eat and plant and sow and acker and zay and plow and do whatever you want. There's no problem today because we don't have Yovel, which is the 50th Jubilee year, which is only available to us when we have a Beis HaMikdash, and there's no Beis HaMikdash, go ahead. And he proved it instantaneously from the Gemara, and that was it. Some characters, and I can only call them characters, went ahead in the Jewish press of that day, small j, small p. No. In the Jewish press of that day, went ahead and said, do you see what this Harav Hagon, Rav Modche Eliasberg, goes ahead and wants to do? How can you do such a thing? First of all, he's wrong because the Rabbonim in Yerushalayim said that Shemitah must be observed. How does he go ahead and go against the Rabbonim in Yerushalayim? Secondly, he's sitting in Europe, in Lita, and they are now, so what is he poking his nose in? None of that is a problem to me. The last line on this page was the problem. That if someone goes ahead and openly counteracts the Torah of Rabbonei Yerushalayim and insults them, here is my quote, Tzorich bedika acharov. You've got to make a bedikas chametz by this person. You cannot trust him. There's something wrong with him. And you need it, bedika me'ula. Not just a plain bedikas chometz. You better make a character analysis of this man down to the last iota with al yedei mumchim ukesherim lekach, by those who are expert and who know the business to do. You know what the business is called? Character assassination. Simple as that. In other words, I disagree with you or you disagree with me. And it's a common thing. If I cannot attack you on an intellectual level, I will attack you ad hominem. I'll find out how you live with your mother-in-law, how you talk to her, and that's what I'm going to publish. It's called, you know what, yellow journalism. The Hollywood schmutz. Zutara? And tragically, that has been perpetuated for the last 100 years. It continues to be perpetuated, and you know my problem, in the name of Torah. That's it. Oh, would I be a lot happier if I didn't discover this? Oh, would I be a lot healthier if I didn't cook and boil and burn and stew with this? But ultimately, Rav Kook would have been so much happier if he wasn't on that wavelength. And he wouldn't have died in his 60s with the most horrendous kind of cancer in the world. I wonder how stress-related his cancer was. Simple as that. It is a message that tragically is not being heard. And the reason that it is not being heard is because it is so much easier to jump on the bandwagon of Khomeiniism. And it's even easier to be a follower of a Khomeini type. It is tough to be able to see this in its pure state, digest it, live with it, and counteract it. It is rough. Let's learn a little about Shemitah. How's about and I will not be able, let me just say at the outset, we will not be able tonight to go ahead and start the Rav Kook on it. I want to do the technical part first, then we'll see what Rav Kook does with it, and we'll go at it. But I took this long introduction to tell you where I was going to, specifically for the welfare of those who are not going to be here. All right? I should have a dollar for every single... it's an obsession of mine, and those of you who know it, well, you just have to live with it. Every single Malox that I had to take, I should have a dollar for every single one, because of the stress that it causes when I think of it. Before knowing what it would do to me, before I came here, I took 3 Malox. Simple as that. No, I am not the paradigm of virtue. I never said I was. And nor am I the only model for tzidkis, for saintliness, you see. I am only giving you the sources as a simple teacher. You go ahead and tell me that I am wrong. But if we disagree on something, you hold yours and I hold mine. To pull these insane shtick that I am the enemy of God and the state is exactly what the Yerushalmi says. This is the classical sinas chinam. This is what we call sinas chinam. You want to hate me, you can hate me for other things. Don't hate me for this. This is the nonsense. You can hate me because you don't like the color of my hair. You can hate me because you don't like the way I talk. But if we are locked into an intellectual conversation, I trying to prove my point and you trying to prove your point, that we walk away and hate one another as a result of it, and depart from one another, the relationship is ruptured, then all of Torah is ruptured. Es vohei v'sufa, it's a pasuk in Chumash. Shnei talmidei chachomim usit, 2 talmidei chachomim usit, and they go at each other with an epee, with a sword, locked into a duel. So while they're dueling it, it would seem as if what? They are enemies. One wanting to subdue the other. And when they're finished, they are greater lovers than before. Why? Because they came to clarify the truth. And the only way we can arrive at truth is when you yell at me and I yell at you, and you ask me and I ask you, and we go back and forth and back and forth, and we play this intellectual game of ping pong until we realize that we have come to some kind of understanding of truth. And this is the one thing that guarantees that the filter of truth shall be clogged by the muck and the mire of low lifeliness. Srichim bedika, you gotta make a bedika schametz after him. I don't know if I can trust his kashrus or will trust his kashrus from here on in. Just to give you a little example of what Boisk was, take all of Lakewood and all of Muncie and all of Borough Park and put it together, and you have some little cow town in Ruchnius compared to what Boisk and Bialystok were. Okay? A little cow town someplace. All right. Let's take a look at it. Okay? How's about, let's start in Vayikra Chof Hei.
What it says from Turkey is Hashem Shamayim.
That's all. Well, look, what's there to talk about? That's the whole thing. No, I don't like it because it doesn't accomplish our purposes at this point. Pitch 531, Vayikra Chofei. In Parshas Behav, the pasuk gimel. Oh, actually, no. Start from the beginning. Daber b'nei Yisrael ve'amarta aleihem. Speak in the midbar to b'nei Yisrael ki savo el haaretz. That this mitzvah is when you come to Eretz Yisrael, nowhere else. Asher ani nosein lachem, I will give you v'shavso haaretz Shabbos Hashem. That the land must rest like Shabbos and be unto God. The first 14 years, by the way, that they came, there was no Shemitah. Because the first 7 years they were conquering. Don't give me your frumkeit. The next 7 years...
Who is? Are you saying
You heard? The first 14 years there was no Shemitah, because the first 7 years they were conquering. The mitzvah of Kibush Eretz Yisrael superseded the mitzvah of Shemitah. Why? Because Shemitah was Shabbos Hashem. The farmer who works 365 days out of the year, including Motzai Shabbos, you understand? Who has to worry, Chas V'Shalom, one wave of bad weather will destroy him entirely, and he goes on and on and on like this. He needs a sabbatical on the seventh year to be able to regenerate his spiritual batteries, his intellectual batteries, his family's spiritual and intellectual batteries. That's Shabbos Hashem. But this mitzvah of sitting down to learn a whole year, because you're off in the farm, or you're off from the farm, that is, cannot apply when you have to conquer the land. Kibush Eretz Yisrael came before. And so the mitzvah of Shemitah was suspended in the first 14 years. Seven didn't exist. It was not to exist. All right, look, Hutcha, we'll leave alone. Let's not get technical for this moment. But which 7 years to conquer and 7 years to colonize. The first 14 years, there was no Shemitah. You see. To settle the land. There was Kibush and Hisnachlus. Okay? What? Pardon me? So the first Shemitah would have been thereafter. Okay? But those 14 years, sorry, you have other priorities over there. In other words, not that it was an economic problem. You had a greater priority of settling the land, which needed conquest and needed division, and therefore Shemitah was not enforced. It's good, you know, simple, b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah. That's all. Pasuk Gimel, Sheish shanim tizra sodecha, 6 years, you will sow, v'sheish shanim tizmor karmecha, 6 years, you will go ahead and harvest your grapes, v'yosafta es tuasa, and whatever it yields, you'll go ahead and harvest. U'bashana shvi is the 7th year, Shabbos Shabboson yiyeh la'oretz. It's a Shabbos Shabboson, just like Yom Kippur, just like Shabbos itself is called Shabbos Shabboson. You've got to give it to the land. Sure, so you'll take a look. Mefarshim ask, what, the land needs Shabbos to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's not. It's the farmer who needs it. Okay? Shabbos Lashem, this is for you, just like Shabbos is every single week. Sotcholos Yisra, like you, on Friday night you stop in the fields, so too you will stop this year. Kalmecholos Yisra, Friday night you come in and your grapes you're not tending to anymore, finished. Even a sviach kitziyacha, that which grows wild, lo sitzor. Yes, in vain is Yerecha lo sitzor, don't harvest anything that grew in the 6th year. Because I said to you once, I'm going to say it again. Shnas Shabboson yiyeh la'aretz. It's got to be total rest. Everything has got to stop. But what? How come it why is the He repeats it simply like he repeats 100 different things. And why does he repeat the mitzvah of Mila 13 times? And how many times is, you know, Bayom HaShvi Tishbos that Mizon Shabbat and Shabbos, how many? Because of the emphasis. That concept, alright, remember, we have 9 mitzvahs that we're worried about. And which mitzvahs are midaraisa, and which avodas, what do we do that is not midaraisa, so is the whole Masechet Shviyis, and it's a whole Torah over there. Okay? But let's learn it on a very simple pshat. And that is so that you realize that it's got to be total, everything has got to stop. But if anything grows, in Pasuk Vav, 6, V'yisa Shabbos Haaretz Lachem Le'achlo, that which grows by itself you can eat, as long as you didn't work at it. You, L'cho, L'avdecho, L'amasecho, your servants, L'sichircho, those whom you hire, L'soshavcho, Hagorim Imach, even the Goyim who live among you, L'vehemtecho, you can feed your cattle, L'chayo Asher B'yatzecho, if it grows wild, then you can go ahead and it can be eaten, but it cannot be worked.
It says
lo sitzar, but it can be eaten. All right? Zriya, Zmira, Kitsira, and Betsira, these are the four avodas. Okay? No, cannot. Now, that's Shemitah. Huh? Talk. I'm an Amoritz communism. I'm a capitalist. I drive a Cadillac. I'm a capitalist.
Everyone gets here today. It's a belongs to everyone, all collectively. I mean, it's for you and your servant, and your hired servant, and the settler, the goyim. You know, anyone is there.
Go, okay. So, look, I have
call haaretz.
Okay.
Umlao.
See. I talk about I say communism, you say communism to me, so they're a bunch of hoodlums and criminals. Now you're telling me something else. Alright, that's different. Okay. Now that's Shemitah every 7 years. Seven times seven, after the 49th year, you come to the Yovel. Okay? Which is no problem, as I told you before, because Yovel is only counted when you have the Beis Hamikdash around. There are many dinim about Yovel, but just take a look carefully. And you see some parallels.
Yovel then comes out 2 years in a row.
Oh, come on, that's the Gemara. Come on. It's Gemara in Achin and the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Gemara in Shvi'is. Good, leave it be. Because
so Shvi'is 49, and they got 50 years right after that.
Our goal is to understand how we can take Shemitah and make it just like Chometz in Pesach. Pasuk 8, V'safalta lecho, Pasuk Ches, V'safalta lecho, Sheva Shabzal Shanim. Count 7 years of seven. Sheva Shanim, Sheva Pamim. 7 times 7 years. V'hayu lecho yimei Sheva Shabzal Shanim, Teisha V'arbaim Shana. So that you're aware when 49 years pass. When 49 years pass, V'havalta shofar truo b'chodesh ha-shvi, V'yosol l'chodesh, on the Yom Kippur. After the 49th year, then you've got to go ahead, b'yom ha-kippurim ta'aviru shofar b'chol ha'atzachem, and blow shofar all over the land. Thereby, v'kidashtem eshnas ha-chameshim shana, the 50th year will become special and sanctified for what? For a whole new set of laws. For instance, u'krosem dror ba'oretz l'chol yoshveho. There is liberty that is proclaimed to all those who live in Eretz Yisrael. Liberty if you are a hired servant by someone, if you are a slave, and other kinds of liberties that occur. Okay? There could be criminal amnesty also under certain things, but we had criminal amnesty without Yovel. There also. But you're right. At Yovel, the criminal amnesty, everyone went. Kohen Gadol died, everyone went, and so on. But Veshavtem, and the most important feature was that v'shaftem ishel achuzaso v'ishel mishpachto toshuvu. If I bought real estate in your territory, and you had to sell that real estate because you needed the money, okay? This was not a mimkar olam, this was not forever. Came the Yovel, and the original title reverts back to your family. Okay? A moratorium of sorts. We can talk a lot about that.
No,
but
they have now at least for 99
years. Identical.
Like the Ken Kamis lease for 99 years.
Identical.
And then they say, okay.
Okay. Yovel hi posuk yud aleph. This is what we call Yovel, the Jubilee year. It is the Shnas ha-chamishim shanot yelachem. And in the 50th year also, lo sizra'u, no sowing of seeds, lo sitziru esficheo, no harvesting, no fruit picking. If it's wild, you can go ahead and eat. And ultimately, there is another thing called Shmitas Karkos, where the karka, where the real estate, reverts back to the original owner. This second part we have nothing to do with. We were only concerned about one Shmitah, beginning in 1888, and that is Shmitas Karkos, which means planting, harvesting. Simple as that. No, Baruch Hashem, this year is a Shmita. Okay? Now watch. Now watch carefully. It's time already for a little mischief on my part. You see, we've been too serious too long. A little mischief. Watch carefully. From Jews, by that I mean Jews in the know, who appreciate the Shemitah, say, Shechiyonu v'kimonu v'gyonu l'azman hazeh, thank God I live in the 20th century, that I can observe this mitzvah, Shemitah, 9 mitzvahs. What do I mean observe? I'm not a farmer, I'm not living in Eretz Yisrael, but I get a basket of Jaffa oranges. They grew the year of Shemitah in Eretz Yisrael.
What? Get tomatoes now too.
Get tomatoes without question. Okay? What do? Not allowed to eat it. I get melons. They're coming in. Not allowed to eat it. All right. And I've been asked repeatedly. Whereupon, it's very simple. Take it and give it to a neighbor, a goy, who has no problem with it. And the response that at least I had was, Shechiyonu v'kimonu v'gyonu l'azman hazeh. Thank God I can observe Shemitah, make my goyish neighbor happy, and it's Eretz Yisrael. You see? There's such a blend of simcha in those who have said it to me. What do I do, gentlemen, ladies, when you'll start coming to me in 6-7 months, save me an Esrog and a Luluf. Where do those lemons grow, guys? Huh? Now it's a soil. Italy, because after all, you are frumer. You see. If I buy an Italian Esrog, what we call Yamava from Genoa, or a Moroccan Esrog, do I have any problem with Shemitah? No way. Shemitah is only in Eretz Yisrael, within the borders of Eretz Yisrael. No way. Okay? So you say, okay, very good. Watch, let's complicate it even further. You go to Eretz Yisrael, and you're there on a tour, and you eat in a restaurant, and the restaurant tells you it has a te'uda, it has a certificate of kashrus. Certificate of kashrus has an appendage to it that all the vegetables are vegetables that have been inspected and abide by the Shemitah laws. What does that mean, abide by the Shemitah laws? A, from the Arabs. Or B, from a field of Jews who sold their kalka, their land, to the Arabs, just like you and I do what? Sell a chometz on Pesach. So you say, oh, wait a minute. This is Shemitah. And I don't hold from that heter. You see, I can't eat vegetables in this restaurant. I will eat the pastrami. There's only one problem. That pastrami is a lot of bologna. Because then you'll come back here, you're selling your chometz, you're doing the same thing with chometz that you don't want to do with Shemitah. You see, huh? Okay, that's it. And again, if you think I'm saying you're crazy, you're wrong. You're really wrong. You know why? Because there is no such thing as a human being who is 100% consistent. I learned, and I'm not a mathematician, you're going to have to tell me about this, Mike. I learned recently that the modern systems of mathematics indicate wherever there is a finite kind of a structure that has no inconsistencies in it, is bottle and mevutel to begin with. That if it is a modern system in this precise science of mathematics, it has to have built-in inconsistencies.
Or it's so simple to be trivial.
Right. I was shocked when I heard this for the first time. There is no such thing as a consistent human being 100%. You understand? Now, that doesn't mean that you're a chote. That doesn't mean that you're a pasheya. That doesn't mean that you're a sinner. That's a different story altogether. There's no way in the world that we can logically conduct our lives and be 100% consistent all the time. You see. But, and here's where my mischief is, don't you think these inconsistencies have created
more schmutz among Jews than almost any other thing this year? And the answer is yes. That is why the Beis HaMikdash hasn't been built yet. Simple as that. Now, if you think at this point, however, that I am denigrating Shemitah, you're entirely wrong. Because even if I can argue a case for you, like the first camp, which we will in Yetz Hashem, in future meetings, even if I can argue for you that Shemitah does not have any effect today, Midoraisa, because we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, there's a different problem. There's the guts of Shemitah. Okay? Do you know what it means to be a nation so economically motivated, so obsessed, that you have to work 7 days a week, 7 years consistently, and you don't take a day off? Do you know how ugly that is? All right, except if you're a rabbi, you see. That is his only salvation. That is his key to Olam Haba. Because after all, he is the destruction of humanity, and he is the downfall of Yiddishkeit. So at least if he suffers in this world, working 7 days a week, 365 days out of the year, year after year after year, until he drops away. So Yisurim ba'olam hazeh, if you suffer in this world, it's your payment, what you deserve in Olam Haba. You don't get it in Olam Haba, you see.
What does a farmer do in the winter in the cold?
What do you mean, what does he do in the winter? In Eretz Yisrael? Where is it? Eretz Yisrael, where is their winter? Or are you telling me that you still haven't had a chance to go on vacation to Eretz Yisrael? That's what you're telling me. You know what winter is in Eretz Yisrael? The rainy season. Yeah, if you want to go up in the hills of the Carmel, up in Lebanon over there, which I wouldn't suggest very much these days, you understand? But beyond the Carmel over there, and you want to go skiing, fine, that's okay. But if you have to go skiing, then better you should go to Monticello. All right, we'll find you Monticello, not over there. But where is their winter? Harvey Gibber has a winter? Harvey Gibber has summer all the time. He's in the Sun Belt. Beersheba has a winter? Well, it gets cold occasionally. You have 2 minutes of snow in Yerushalayim occasionally. 2 minutes of snow. It's gone in 25 minutes, the sun is up. Okay? Purim, we went to the Megillah the year that we were there, so it was snowing. First of all, what happens is, if the entire Arab League were to attack with all of their armies, there wouldn't be such an entrenchment in the shelters, in the shelter of home, as there is when there is a quarter of an inch of snow in Yerushalayim. You don't see a human being in the world. I was scared because we were at the Kotel. We were at the Kotel that night, the night of Megillah. There wasn't a human being there except for one lone watchman in the booth. And here, you know, we Americans are coming. What big deal, snow. Ooh, you are, the place was desolate. Huh?
The Kotel usually was always somebody there. You go there 2 o'clock in the morning, 3, 4, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning.
Take my word, that was one of the big crises of faith. There's an agoda that says at the Kotel, you know, Al Chomosayich Yerushalayim Ifkadeti Shomrim, never, Kol Hayom, the Kol Halayla, never is the Kotel left alone. Yeah. You know what? I mean, this is a legendary kind of a way of thinking. It's a romantic way of thinking. That me and my family should be the only ones that night at the Kotel, aside from that one Shomer, one guy, that's all. What about in the, you know, on the, you don't know,
the
on the side, in there's a cave there to the left. There's no snow there. There are 16 shuls over there, each one according to his nusach. Gone. No one. We went in. No one. Except for the watamanim who came. Huh? What? In the booth? In the booth. But at the Kotel to be davening to say tilim? Not one. There wasn't one word of davening at the Kotel. Sure, there were soldiers there.
But they get scared of the snow.
They go underneath, like there's an atomic conflagration. Okay? The whole city becomes paralyzed. And 20 minutes later, the sun comes out and it melts the snow. What do you think? Well, that's snow. You don't know from snow. Okay. Now, as I said, if you think that I am making light of Shemitah, you're entirely wrong. Because if you'll do yourself a favor and take a look at the Tochacha, just in the next Sedra, if you have the English Chumash, page 545, it's in Vayikim Bechukosai, Bechukosai Perek Chavrov, you know. Actually, you can go back one page to 544, beginning at the bottom, Pasuk Chof Zayin 27. The Tochacha, you know, when we read this, we read it quietly, because it hurts too much. V'im bezos lo sishmeuli, if nonetheless you will continue not to listen to me, v'halachtem imi bekeri, and you're going to be contrary to what I've asked you, v'halachti imachem b'chamas keri, I will give it you right back in all fury. I'll give it back to you in spades seven times. So now go quick, all right, to Pasuk Lamed Beis 32. Your land will be desolate, and so long as your enemies will be there, it'll be desolate. They'll live there, but the land will not flourish. The Eschem, as far as the people is concerned, is a Reb Agoyim. You're going into Golus and be spread out in the four corners of the world. And you'll be chased by a sword. And your land will be desolate. Everything you built and you lived for will be entirely gone. Now, those of you who are Bale Kriya and those of you who watch carefully know that when we get to the next Pasuk, Lamed Dalet 34, suddenly the Baal Kori changes his voice. The volume becomes three times as loud. Oz, there will yet be a day, that the land will cry out begging for its Shabbos. What is the Shabbos of the land? That you observe Shemitah. The land will cry out, please come back, Yidalach, come back and observe Shemitah on me. Work me for 6 years and I'll produce for you. And the seventh year, leave me alone, and you go ahead and you go learn. Take your children and your children's children and learn for a year of sabbatical. Oz tilseha oretz es shabseseha. Kol yemei hashama. It'll cry out all the days of its desolation. But what will you do? Atem be'eretz oyveichem. Nebuch, you are in Golus, you can't come back. You are locked into the ghettos of Russia and then Poland and Europe and Germany and all over the world. You won't be able to come back. The land cries out and you cannot answer. And the whole yelling out is because Nebuch, when you were there, you couldn't observe Shemitah. This is not an intellectual statement. This is not halacha. This is not Gemara. You hear the emotion over there? The difference between the various positions, as far as Shemitah, were dictated by something much more important than our head, than this place called the brain, and that is the Nefesh Yehudi Homiya, the soul of the Jew. For close to 2,000 years, I could not observe Shemitah. And now I finally have Jews who are buying up land. I have a Baron Rothschild. We never had such a thing in our lives. I have a Moses Montefiore. We have Jews coming from Russia and from Poland who want to sit there and work and till the land. You shouldn't keep Shemitah. It's crazy. But if you keep Shemitah in 1889, you know what it's going to be? You'll starve to death. Forget Rothschild. I'm not so worried about his money. Rothschild doesn't go bankrupt so fast. The farmers would starve to death. That's what Torah was for. That's what Shemitah was for. You see, in a word, and I'd like to conclude here, it was one of the most critical issues that involved Torah, halacha, humanity, Jewish heart, and a new experience, because it's the first time that we started in 2,000 years to work the land. The only way that you could solve it is to take stucker boxes and put it in Europe and live on a handout. It's called welfare from the European Jewish community. Or is that the only way? Maybe we can do like Mechiras Chometz. and God will have his, and Jews will have theirs, and we'll have no problem. What Rav Kook's role was in this, in Yitzhak Hashem, we'll see. But that he paid for it dearly, you can be sure. He paid for it dearly.
What does it say? It's Hashem lo shov so v'shav so yisechel v'shivtechem
aleha. Midah keneged midah.
When you sat there, you did not.
You didn't. You didn't keep. Why? Why? I ask you, sechel. If I produce in 6 days or in 6 years $1 million a year, I shouldn't produce in the seventh year? If I'm smart enough to make $1 million 6 times in a row, I shouldn't do it a seventh time. I should be able to give it to the yeshivas. I should be able to make it stock it for the poor. Crazy. I shouldn't be able to put a few dollars in the bank for my children. I got to make a wedding. I have 17 daughters. I mean, whatever. You know. I didn't know. Right. I mean, give out. Did you see? Would anyone argue with such talk? And even so. To conclude where we started, I'll tell you quite honestly. Rabbi Yaakov ben Yamini, I didn't know. But I do know. I've heard his voice on several tapes. And I hear his voice, Sifsosov Medovavos Bakever. I hear his voice through those whom he has left in this world. All of them, and that's Natalie and Shuli and his recent partnership, the most recent partnership, and that was with Jerry. I would tend to think that if he were involved in this argument, I'm guaranteed it would never be the ad hominem. Okay? He'll talk to you, he'll fight with you, he'll discuss with you, he'll agree with you, he'll disagree with you. He's that kind of a personality that I am trying together with you to create so that there can be an answer to all of this insanity that we call religion. I wouldn't even use the word Torah. I call it Khomeiniism. And like diamonds, there are few and far between in this world. Yehi zichro baruch lenetzach.
Akasha me rotsa kodesh bokol zakes es sol fi khot khol an taro mitzos shne ma shem khofei siman siko yagil taro viadir
Amen. Amen.